Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And the pitch. Swung on, ground ball to first. Encarnacion, Strand has it, fires to second, one, back to first, double play, ball game's over. It's a 3-6-1 double play that ends the game as the Phillies fall to the Reds, and they've lost back-to-back games here in Cincinnati, 7-4 the final.
Just under the wire, Fritz makes the postgame show. Welcome on in. It's the Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looked so good. Having some freaking Wi-Fi issues back here on top of like the most annoying Phillies loss of the season, just under the wire. But you know, they often say that either you're a red light player or you're not. And tonight, I guess we got to be red light players. Welcome on in. What an annoying night. The game wrap up tonight, sponsored by Blaser Swiss Lube and Krevitz, the metalworking fluid specialist providing CNC machine cleaning, coolant maintenance programs, and waste coolant disposal. Krevitz.online. 215-592-9494. There's a lot to react to. Get in now. We could start with last night. We could start with, or we can go with what happened tonight. We can start with some bad baseball. We'll get to Spencer Turnbull, but here's my biggest takeaway of the game, which is brought to you by Morgan and Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. That was Rob Thompson's worst 2 days of the year. Last night really is where I think this whole thing started. Last night, you have Andrew Abbott on the mound, who is not some overpowering lefty. He's more crafty, but a guy that Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh should be able to handle. Sits them last night, knowing that Nick Lodolo is ready to go tonight. Nick Lodolo is essentially unhittable against lefties. So, oh, by the way, you want to throw Stubbs in there? Throw Stubbs in there. He could have played last night rather than tonight. So you have JT in the lineup tonight instead of just having essentially, and no offense against Stubbs. I mean, he actually hit some balls hard tonight. But instead of an automatic out batting ninth against a lefty that is just disgusting. And I think lefties heading into this game at a 450 OPS against them. So this nonsense started last night. It's like they decided when Bryce was out, it's like, eh, whatever. These next two games don't matter. And sure, like in the long run, is April 23rd and April 24th going to end up mattering in the grand scheme of things of the season? No. But last night was nonsense given what tonight was going to be, which was going to be more of a tough task against Nick Lodolo. Now, I know Nick Lodolo didn't have his best stuff tonight. They scored 3 runs against him. That's good. That's fine. Okay? But that doesn't mean that the process to get to it was the right process to get to it. And I'm a Rob Thompson fan. I'm not writing off Rob Thompson. But what bothers me, like, there's the, like, I have excused away some of the Rob Thompson stuff in the past because I thought it made baseball sense. This, to me, last night and tonight, just did not make baseball sense. Nick Castellanos batting fourth? What are we doing? He's batting 177 heading into tonight. I appreciate wanting to reward the guy, and we'll get to some, not reward, that's the wrong term, wanting to stick with the guy. We'll get to some annoying quotes later. But the lineup decisions the last two nights were incredibly annoying. Spencer Turnbull, who it seems like it's going to be his last run through the rotation, 89 pitches? You can't just let him go lay it on the line tonight? You let him go five innings when you're probably moving into a bullpen role anyway? Why not just let him air it out? Who are we going to that much better out of the bullpen? So 89 pitches for Turnbull. Again, if you're going to move him to the bullpen, just let him air it out anyway if it's his last start. Marsh not hitting for Pache with runners on first and third and Lucas Sims on the mound. Instead, he leaves Christian Pache in to face him. Pache strikes out. I know that Johan Rojas, the next batter, was able to get a hit and kind of bailed out the decision. But once again, the process to get the decision doesn't make that much sense, especially because Marsh hit later. Like, the whole idea of sitting Marsh or sitting Stott against these tough lefties is that you better use them when the time is right, and you better use them when there's an advantage for you. Runners on first and third with, I believe, no one out at that point is a time when you go to Brandon Marsh. And yes, Rojas bailed you out. Congratulations. He very easily could have not bailed you out. But regardless, that's a mistake. Sir Anthony, they got to find some kind of phantom IL stint, maybe even send him to AAA and hope he can get on an Alvarado run like Alvarado had a couple years ago. Because Alvarado went down to AAA, kind of found his stuff, and was back and has been one of the best relievers in baseball since then. I mean, there's times tonight where Sir Anthony was sitting 94. 94 is not acceptable. Clearly has no feel for his slider. Like, he is working through some things. And I don't blame Thompson for going to him in that situation. Like, it's the sixth inning. You got to put someone out there. Sir Anthony has been someone you've trusted in the past. You have to kind of get him going. But this is what has sunk the Phillies in the last two postseasons. I appreciate sticking with guys. And I think the loyalty has been rewarded and the guys play for Rob Thompson. But not to make, April 24th about the World Series in 2022 or last year, but he stuck with Castellanos a long time in 2022, and he stuck with Bohm in the four hole a lot last year in the postseason. I know he hit the home run in Game 7, but regardless. So he is a loyal guy. He wants to get these guys right. In the long run, you hope it bears out. But in the short term, it is maddening to deal with when you have a guy like Sir Anthony who clearly has no feel for a slider, who, I mean, Tyler Stevenson was just waiting to pounce on the baseball. And shout out to Johan Rojas for even making that a close play in center field. I mean, that was incredibly impressive. But he had no feel. Like he just didn't have it. And if Sir Anthony, while I appreciate trying to get him going, if he doesn't have it, you got to get him out earlier. I know Strom didn't come in and exactly shove, but I trust Strom and kind of the stones that he has at this current moment over Sir Anthony Dominguez. I'll take stones. I'll take grit on the mound versus a guy who is working through things. Like Sir Anthony looks closer to Brogdon right now than he does one of the best options out of the bullpen. So that was frustrating. I'll give him a pass, I guess, for no JT in the eighth versus Suter because you want to get JT a full day off. I'll give him a pass there. My JT issue is, like, play Stubbs last night against a more soft-tossing lefty so that JT can go tonight. If you're already taking Turnbull out of the rotation, why does it matter if Stubbs and him are aligned? And Turnbull threw 6 1/3 of no-hit baseball with JT behind the dish in his last start. So that made no sense to me. I thought it's been Rob Thompson's two worst games of the year. The second big takeaway for me tonight is just continued bad baseball. They had cleaned this crap up, but these last two nights, it's creeping back in. Is it Bryce not being there? That could be a part of this. I mean, I know Bryce has his moments of blunders on the base paths and stuff like that, but I mean, just not looking locked in. Turner, they tried the first and third play that they tried against the White Sox on Sunday. He breaks way too early and completely defeats the play. Like, worst case scenario there, you should have had runners on second and third and two outs. In a perfect world, you steal a run there. But regardless, That doesn't happen. Boehm, for some reason, is trying to stretch a single into or stretch a single into a double early in the game. He gets picked off first base. Johan Rojas, who I rarely criticize for his defense, he took a poor route on the Ellie De La Cruz ground rule double that cost an extra run for the Phils. And Sosa strikes out with less than two outs, runner on third base, with a chance to drive a run in. Meanwhile, the Reds all night long were able to get sac flies home and get runners home. So it was a good evidence tonight of good baseball by the Reds and bad baseball by the Phils. So on top of Rob Thompson having two tough nights, they also played just piss-poor baseball all night long. And the final thing, to round this out on a positive note, because I can't always be too negative, I just cannot believe they're taking Spencer Turnbull out of the rotation. Why are you taking Spencer Turnbull out of the rotation for Taijuan Walker? I know they're concerned about his innings, but can he prove to me that he breaks down? Can he prove that to me before I take a guy that is pitching to a 1-3 for the beginning of the season out of the 5 spot, out of my rotation for Taijuan Walker, whose arm just might be done? Like, it just doesn't make sense. There are three guys. There's three guys right now that might just be done. Might not have it anymore. Castellanos, Taijuan, and Sir Anthony. Sir Anthony I still believe in because we've seen 99 this year, but I think he needs some kind of IL stint, some maybe even a send down. They have to get some other pitch working besides that fastball because it's just not good enough right now, and he's just not reliable. We'll get to more with Castellanos, but Taijuan, like, I don't know how you, and maybe they won't. Maybe I'm jumping the gun here. But I don't know how you take a guy who is pitching the way Spencer Turnbull is, that is showing the emotion on the mound that he was tonight. The guy wants it. The guy wants it. He's slamming gloves after allowing a one earned run. I mean, pitching with a ton of emotion. Frustrating night all around, on top of a frustrating night last night, on top of Taijuan Walker possibly re-entering into our lives. Dave kicks us off tonight in Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
Last night, you know, questioned the lineup, and at 3 o'clock today, yeah, I'm a high school athletic director, and I got they popped up on my phone, and just all of a sudden, I'm just pissed off, like looking at the lineup, and I'm like getting ready to watch my game at my school today, and I'm like, well, my coach is putting in his best lineup today, like. I feel like Rob Thompson's managed the last two games like a high school coach that's getting parent complaints about their kid not playing, and he's getting and just, you know, folding to pressure. It's crazy what is going on. And then, like, with Sosa up with in that instance late, and when he struck out, like, is Bryson, like, I just don't understand how Bryson Stott has become almost like not usable against left-handed pitching again. Like, it's like, I just don't get it.
Yeah. And I mean, Sosa's had the numbers wise has had a good start to the year. The last two nights you actually described it perfect. It's like, I appreciate getting guys at bats, and like, they're going to get Merrifield some at bats. At least he came through a couple times tonight, which was good. But like, it was a lot of giveaway at bats tonight that I just, why are we doing that in back-to-back games, Dave? Abbott's a lefty that left-handers should be able to handle. Lodolo, I get. Like, if you want to have platoon advantages against Lodolo, sure. But like, even the Marsh thing, runners on first and third, you have Sims in the game. Like, that's where you go to Marsh. Like, that's obvious.
It's just crazy. And then the guys he's showing faith in, like Castellanos, like, give the guy a day off. Give the guy a night off. Like,
what is Marsh set? Is Marsh set what, 7 games so far?
Yeah. I mean, Castellanos hasn't sat once. I mean, if he doesn't sit tomorrow, I don't think he's ever going to sit.
No.
And I don't get, like, and then, you know, the whole tie. I just feel like that he's managing the team right now to try to keep people happy. And this is going to be the reason why the Braves win the division again, because you give away games in April when the Braves are sweeping the Marlins and doing, you know, winning every night now. It just, that's exactly what happened the last 2 years. It's just become an insurmountable lead because we're giving away games.
But at the same time, I mean, they have got him in the postseason. So, I mean, maybe the rest
agree.
Of the players
I mean,
helps.
How long can that, I mean, hopefully that can last. And, you know, if that's the mantra of the team, like we're going to, you know, get in the wild card and we're going to beat them then, that's fine. It's just frustrating to watch in 100, guys like me and you that watch 162 games. It's just frustrating.
Yeah,
you know, because you want your team. I just want them to be. I want them to be dominant, and it's they just refuse to be.
Yeah, I appreciate the call as always, Dave. Really good stuff as always, and I feel you. You know, tonight was a night. Tonight was a game that they should have won. Now, they had some missed opportunities, but the way Spencer Turnbull was pitching again, and let's get to the pitch count, which is sponsored by Plumbers Union 690, protecting the health of the nation. Visit plumbers690.org. He threw 89 pitches and just looked dominant. Again, he keeps passing the eye test, and tonight felt like a win. And then the second I saw Sir Anthony, I was like, nope, tonight is not the night. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in and react to an annoying loss tonight out in Cincinnati. But in addition to your phone calls, on the other side, an annoying pregame quote from Rob Thompson, and as we continue to work in some bright spots, a really, really bright spot in this Phil's lineup. We'll talk about that. All coming up next on the Final Out, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
How about a little 4-for-4 from Bomer tonight out in Cincinnati? Welcome back. It's the Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looks so good. Jack Fritz hanging out with you on this Wednesday night, reacting to, in my opinion, the most annoying loss of the season. Sure, game one against the Braves was annoying, but two different animals here than the Braves and the Reds. And I know they lost, but I'm going to give my player of the game to Alec Bohm, which is sponsored by South Jersey Gas. Committed to providing safe, reliable, affordable natural gas, make the switch at southjerseygas.com/lovemyhome. Just smoking the baseball. Going opposite field. I mean, being really gap-to-gap. And finally, like, he's been, again, Bohm is such a conundrum. He's been a conundrum for me for the last couple of years because you see flashes of it. You know, he's the number 3 overall pick in the draft. He's got a plus hit tool, but you keep waiting for that power to come, and you keep waiting for him to, like, grow into that 6'5 frame, and you keep waiting for, okay, when's this? Like, I know people think Alec Bohm's young. I mean, he's 27. Like, he's entering into his prime years, and, you know, he has these stretches like he's in right now, and I hope this one is sustainable, and he can just ride it out and be the prophet, like I thought he was, of being like the NLE's killer. They always felt like he was going to get that back-breaking hit. And really, I just hope he can bat fourth. Like, I like JT a lot. I just wish JT was batting fifth or sixth. I would love Bohm to take that four spot and run with it. But, you know, he would have these moments where he would have it, and he would be driving the baseball, and he'd be gap-to-gap, and he'd hit some home runs. And then he'd go right back to hitting the baseball into the ground and rolling over on it and just not doing any damage. And it was so frustrating because, like, dude, you're huge. Drive the baseball. Like, you're strong. Go do it. And I know it's simplifying hitting a little bit, but it was very similar to what Franco would do. Like, Michael Franco would get scorching hot for like 4 weeks, and you're like, bang, there it is. Michael Franco's arrived, and then he'd go back to being Michael Franco. But what Alec Bohm's doing right now, 4-for-4 tonight, I believe he's like a 325, 4-something OBP guy and a high 5 slugging percentage. That's high-level stuff. And I really hope that he is growing into this thing and can be another kind of force in that lineup, because at the beginning of the season, you know, even like before the White Sox series, you look at the lineup and it felt like they were a bat short. And, you know, Schwarber does his Schwarber thing, has good games, has bad games. Everyone reacts to every little thing he does at the plate. When it all bears out, he's going to be around 200 with hopefully 40 home runs and 100 RBI. Like, that's what it's going to be. And he's going to walk a lot. Turner, really good start to the season. Looks like the player they paid for. Had a couple more hits tonight. Awesome to see. And then there's Harper, who was cold for a little bit, but you never really worry about Harper. And you could just, obviously, before he went on paternity leave, he was starting to heat right back up. And I was he was going to be like at 280 in early May. You could just kind of tell that run was coming. But after him, they felt a little light. They felt a little light. You know, JT, a little light for a cleanup hitter. Alec Bohm, hitting but not hitting for power. Stott, slow start. Castellanos, Rojas, Marsh is a really good bright spot, and that was good. And I can't believe we're back to having to watch him sit back-to-back nights for essentially no reason. But good signs with Alec Bohm, and the one negative, and I didn't add this into the bad baseball portion, but back-to-back nights of just poor stretches at first base. Like, first base, going for the baseball, very timing-oriented. Like, last night, Turner makes a great play. If Alec Bohm is a more seasoned first baseman and stretches properly, that's an out, and that takes a runner off the base. Instead, that guy scores. Tonight, stretches poorly. Martini gets on first base. They pinch run for him. That guy ends up coming all the way around to score. Like, that's – he's an inexperienced first baseman. And when Bryce gets there, which is so funny, again, that now it's we're resigned to, when Bryce gets there, everything will be fine at first base. But it is what it is. He's been good over there. And Bohm, while great at the dish tonight, was not great in the field. We'll get to some concerning pregame quotes in just 1 second. But first, I mean, we got late night Black Gritty. What's happening, BG?
What's up, Nolo? I you know, you're saying all the right things. You know baseball so much. I just want to ask a question. Like, why can't Topper, like, experiment in the beginning of the season? I know he likes to stick with his guys. Is Marsh not one of his guys? Why can't you stick with Marsh? And I don't care about left. I don't care about right. Like, the guy's just been hot. He's in a groove. And sitting him and making the moves he makes, just I can't help but think about the postseason. I want to enjoy baseball. You know what I mean? I want to complain and grump game to game. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, this dude, the old dog, and won't learn a new trick, and he won't change, Nolo. What am I supposed to do? Because I don't want to complain about the manager every other day. Like, I don't want to. What am I supposed to do?
Well, you have to hope those guys start heating up and he looks like a genius for sticking with them. Like, I mean, it's about where we're at. It's incredibly frustrating. But, I mean, on one hand, I do think it's part of the success that he's had and gotten out of these guys is that they play for him and they play hard for him. It's just that he goes down with ships, man. It's like the Titanic.
And we know they're going to heat up. Like, you know, we always talk about the weather, but it is something about the weather. You know how it is. Schwarber season is coming. I know it's coming. I believe in it. It's bore fruit 3 years in a row. So I know when it's going to happen. I know how it's going to happen. So I get that part of it. But the fact that he just sticks with his guns and won't make a change, like, Castellanos needs something. I don't know if he needs a hug. I don't even need a spa day. I don't know what he needs. But he needs to not be out there on that field. Like, do something. But he won't do it. And it's just enraging. And, yep. You know, it is what it is. I love you, brother. Keep telling the good word. And maybe one day somebody will listen to it and make some changes. I'll talk to you. Have a good night.
All right. There he goes. Black Gritty. Well, speaking of Castellanos and sticking to your guns, this was pregame, and Matt Galb wrote this earlier today on The Athletic. He wrote, the Phillies will not sit Castellanos like they did Rojas. If you don't know what that means, I mean, early in the season, they sat Rojas to clear his head for like 2 days. And, I mean, coincidentally, he's been hitting close to like 400 since then. Had another hit tonight. He actually bailed out Thompson by getting a hit instead of when he should have gone to Pache, or when he should have gone to Marsh over Pache. But regardless, Rob Thompson said last night, you know, just keep going. He'll find it. In reference to Castellanos. Castellanos wants to play all 162 games. The team is willing to defer to the right fielder, within reason, because it knows not to disrupt certain ideas that enter Castellanos' head. The Phillies have not reached an uncomfortable territory with Castellanos. It would take weeks more of no production to prompt those discussions. Reads to me like they're afraid of Castellanos. And I mean, he was horrible in 2022. He had flashes in 2023. I know he made the All-Star team, but he's also super up and down. I watched Dom Brown be an All-Star in 2013. Didn't matter. And then we've seen him get off to an atrocious start to the season. One extra base hit. One. He's played every game. It's April 24th. Like, you can't keep catering. Like, we're not talking about Derek Jeter here. We're not talking about some all-time Philly great that has some kind of streak going on. We can't sit Castellanos because he wants to play 162 games. How about you earn it? How about you earn 162? That's what's frustrating to me. I'm sure he's trying. I'm not questioning his effort, but 0-for-5 tonight, more feebleness at the dish. And it's what's annoying is that athletes are taught things are earned, not given. And right now, it seems like at two positions, right field and a starter spot in the rotation, they're just given to them. Just given to them. Right field is given to Castellanos. Do you think that Brandon Marsh probably wants to play 162? Yeah, I bet Brandon Marsh wants to play 162 too. But he can't. He's not allowed to. Why? So all it takes to play is, hey, I want to play 162. Like, what are we talking about here? It's ridiculous. Tom Walker doesn't deserve to be in the rotation, but he's going to be in the rotation because he paid him $18 million. And then if it goes south, it goes south. But it's got to be a little bit annoying for maybe even the clubhouse. The whole earn not given thing. And it's just like, well, Castellanos wants to play 162, and we'll let him hit his way out of it. Well, he didn't for a whole year, and people will do back of the baseball card, and I get it, and I appreciate it. But, like, I also railed against the whole Bill Parcells, you are your record says you are thing for the entire Eagle season. Like, I appreciate the term back of the baseball card. We said that all 2022 for Castellanos, and it never worked out. It never worked out. He was bad all year long. He was pretty good in 2023. I know when you look at the numbers at the end, it was really good, all-star, whatever. And this year, just a brutal start. But it would take weeks more of no production to prompt discussions of possibly sitting him. Nick Castellanos, batting 170-something with one extra base hit, drives me nuts. 215-592-9494. It's the final out. Jack Fritz hanging out with you here on this Wednesday night. On the other side, the play of the game, a look ahead to tomorrow in the finale of the series and the play of the rest of your phone calls here on the final out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back. It is The Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never looked so good. That's the play of the game, sponsored by Mike's Amazing, the official mayo and mustard of the Phillies. And, yeah, I mean, that falls in. A bit of a bleeder. There's a couple bleeders in that inning that fell in, and it didn't go the Phillies' way. You know, you had those two. You had the play over Rojas' head. You had the play where Rojas dives and He just couldn't come up with it. Meanwhile, that little thing, I don't know. It was just a frustrating night. Like, on top of some lineup decisions that were annoying, some pitching decisions that were annoying, some bad baseball, bad defense, bad base running, bad situational awareness, Reds took advantage of it. But they also got some bleeders that fell in. I guess that's baseball, but it's just frustrating coming out on the losing end, especially because you can feel it. Like, I don't know. You can just kind of feel when they're going to lose a baseball game. And tonight was certainly one of them. We'll look ahead to tomorrow before handing things off to TK here in 1 second. But John's in Hazleton. What's happening, John?
You know, how you doing now? I could see that a clueless Rob is starting to wear thin on other people, too, with his decision-making. And my question for you is, you know the organization is good. Whose decision do you think that is with Castellanos that they're not going to sit him for a week if he keeps playing like it'll take weeks of this kind of production? Who's making that decision? Is that clueless Rob, or is he being told when he's allowed to sit him down?
Well, I think he's someone that is a player's manager. He's trying to abide by the player and trust him that he'll work his way out of it. So I think that's a organization, and I do think that's Rob Thompson's call.
It shouldn't be their call. I mean, Marks has already been sat 7 games. This guy's batting 170-some with one extra base hit, and he gets to play every day. And the Taiwan Walker thing, real quick before you cut me, he won't be in the rotation long because I believe he's cooked. And, now, you know, after 4 or 5 starts of him getting smashed, I think Spencer Turnbull will be back in the rotation where he belongs.
Yeah, I appreciate it, John. First off, I agree with you. I hope it's obviously not the case. I don't need them to have a cooked pitcher go out there and get shelled, but that's just kind of how I feel at the moment. My fear with that is okay, well, what if Spencer Turnbull gets out of the rhythm that he's in right now? Like, you are taking a risk by taking a guy who's pitching to a 1-3 out of the rotation. I mean, it's as simple as that. You are taking a risk. And sure, you can go back to him, but who's to say he's as good as he is right now? It's definitely a risk. But regardless, tomorrow, while not, like, obviously a must-win, it would be a nice little kind of stopper performance by Zach Wheeler. We got Wheels on the mound tomorrow versus Nick Martinez. And Wheeler was dominant his last time out. It was the White Sox. I get it. But tomorrow, Bryce will be back. JT should be in there. You lost the last two games by playing bad baseball, not being locked in, not having your A lineups out there. If you want to do that crap, fine. But just go out there and split this series tomorrow. You have Wheels on the mound. You have a lot of your guys back. And, like, it's Nick Martinez. He hasn't gone more than 5 innings in a start this year. He has been a reliever the last couple of years. Coincidentally, has pitched pretty well against the Phillies out of relief the last couple of years. He's got a little, like, Bugs Bunny changeup that they've had fits with, again, in the last couple of seasons. So, listen, tomorrow is shaping up for a game that you should win. They're going to put their A lineup out there. A lot of the guys are going to be back. Reds, maybe they sit some people because it's a day game. But don't lose 3 or 4 to the Reds. Just, you don't have, I mean, they're a good team. They're a developing team. Ellie De La Cruz is a fascinating watch. I mean, it just, like, the way he just can steal third base, like, it's almost nothing. He's been going off. But still, don't need to lose 3 or 4 before you head out to San Diego and take on a Padres team who's not great, but still has some thumpers in their lineup. So Wheels on the mound tomorrow. Hopefully he can be a nice little stopper versus Nick Martinez, who, again, No, he's not the opener per se, but he's a more 4 to 5 inning guy than someone that should pitch deep into this game. And hopefully with all the guys back, they can kind of right the ship a little bit. I mean, tomorrow's a great Philly sports day. You got Phil's in the afternoon. You got the draft at night. And you got the Sixers game 3. And then it'd be nice to get 2 wins and maybe a trade up. Maybe we'll get a nice little trade up tomorrow night and see what Howie can work his magic. But good venting session tonight. I appreciate everyone that joined in. Francisco Rojas produced the program behind the scenes. Tom Kelly will take you through the rest of the night here on Sports.